Good morning. Hope everyone's had a great Thanksgiving weekend, has had the opportunity to spend lots of time with family. It's great to see everyone that's with us today. I got to express my thanks, my gratitude for just being able to be a part of this family as well and to work with you guys. I don't like calling it a job. It feels like much more than that. But I thank God all the time for the opportunity I have to work here with you guys, to work with our elders who deserve all the credit that comes their way. They do a wonderful job looking over the needs of the flock here, and you guys all treat me and my family very well. So just hope you guys all know that I appreciate that, and I lift you up in my prayers often. It makes me a little sad the way that Thanksgiving is often followed, not often followed, it's always followed immediately by Black Friday. If you know me, I don't have any problem with saving money, so it's not that, but It just feels like maybe we need to let Thanksgiving linger a little bit longer before we rush off to buy more stuff, right? Chelsea and I did the stores a while back, you know, earlier in our marriage, and we might still try to find an online deal on Black Friday now or then, but it's just kind of a weird juxtaposition of Thanksgiving and Black Friday back to back like that. As children of God, we should be very familiar with the idea of Thanksgiving. Right? We had a whole lesson earlier in the year from Colossians 4 in verse 2, which says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And so thanksgiving, it needs to be evident in our prayer, but it's beyond just that. It's an attitude of thanksgiving, right? And so not one day should go by without giving thanks, without being grateful and letting that gratitude affect the way we live and the choices that we make. And while our lives aren't perfect, we all have issues, we all have problems that we could list and we could complain about if we choose to complain about, although we know we shouldn't, right? Regardless of what issues we have an awful lot to be thankful for. If we're going to give thanks, it begs the question, who am I giving thanks to? I can give thanks to people, but if I'm celebrating Thanksgiving, who is that thanks going to? Is it just being sent out into the expanse of the universe? And for some people, it kind of is, right? We know that our thanks goes to God. We're giving thanks to God for the things that we have. I don't think that's anything new or surprising. But that kind of begs another question. Why does God bless you? Ever thought about that? Why has God blessed you the way he has blessed you? I think about the life that God has blessed me with. Again, with the church family, but then my physical family with Chelsea and the boys. And it amazes me. I don't understand sometimes why God has blessed me as much as he has. When people ask me how I'm doing, I often say better than I deserve. And I believe that God has blessed me with far more than what I deserve. He's not blessed me because I'm just such a great guy. Right? He's not blessed me because I've done enough to earn all the blessings that he's poured out on me in my life. He's blessed me far more than I deserve. On one hand, God blesses me, he blesses you, because God is good. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Just God is good, and so he blesses people. But I think there's more to it than that. I think a major reason why God blesses each of us the way he does is so that we would be in a position to bless others also. We are blessed to be a blessing. We see this idea in scriptures all the time. Stephen hit on it in his talk before when we observed the giving this morning. But I think Genesis 12 is a great place that demonstrates the reason why God blesses people. There's a greater purpose than just the blessing itself. Read Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3 with me. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so as we go on, we see God bless Abraham in many, many ways in his life. At this point, Abram is old and he's childless, right? But we know that God would bless him with Isaac through his wife, Sarah. And God would communicate with Abraham at various times. As Abram goes out to foreign countries, and as he's a stranger there, God would protect him as he traveled. If you turn over to Genesis 15, we see that in Genesis 15 and verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. So just the fact that God spoke to Abram in the first place is a blessing. But God is promising to be Abram's shield, to protect him as he goes into harm's way. Abram would be blessed materially through God. If you go over to chapter 24, Abram's servant is speaking to Laban here, and he says this about Abraham in Genesis 24, verses 35 and 36. He says, the Lord has greatly blessed my master, that's Abraham, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him, as to Isaac, he has given all that he has. So Abraham would be giving all this to Isaac. So it lists all these blessings that Abraham received from God. But then notice that those blessings are going to extend to Isaac also. And so Abram's blessings would be a blessing to others. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham's nephew Lot was in Sodom. He was living in Sodom with his family at the time. And Genesis 19, verse 29 indicates that God saved Lot because, in large part, because of Abraham. And so, when we think back to Genesis 12, when God blesses Abraham in Genesis 12, God's sole purpose was not simply so that Abraham would be blessed. Right, read verse 2 again. It says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Abraham was blessed so that he would be a blessing to others. In verse 3, this is when he's revealing his plan, right? This is a pivotal chapter in the Bible where God is revealing this plan through these three promises to Abraham. And he would establish the nation of Israel through his lineage and later Judah, right? And that it's through this lineage that that Christ would come, that the Messiah would come. And all families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham's blessing. And that's true of us today. We are blessed this very day because of Abraham's blessing. God did not bless Abraham just for the sake of blessing Abraham. There's a bigger purpose to God's blessing. He was blessed to be a blessing. Over in Galatians 3:29, we read, if you are Christ's, that's you and me, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Some 4,000 years later, you and I are blessed through the blessing God made to Abraham. And so as you reflect on your life and the blessings you have in your life, as I hope you've already been doing a lot of over the past few days, I just want to encourage you to see your blessings as an opportunity to bless others. God's blessings to you should not stop with you, but they're to extend and to multiply to others. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9 finds a passage that often gets read. Stephen read verse 7 for us today. He did a fantastic job before that. I questioned reaching out and letting him know, hey, heads up, I'm going to be covering 2 Corinthians 9 this morning in the lesson. But I didn't, and he nailed it, so I'm glad I didn't, because it was a wonderful setup anyway, and great to center our minds on our giving in the first place. But there's a lot of connections you can make between some of the scriptures that Stephen read this morning for us and what we're going to look at here in 2 Corinthians 9. While this passage is, again, it's often read and certainly applies to our financial blessings and what we give back monetarily, it absolutely applies to that. That's not my focus today. My focus is not just on the giving today. There's a larger context that for time's sake we won't get into what's going on here with the saints in Corinth. But in verse 6 is where Paul kind of takes a step back anyway and talked about this bigger lesson of giving and generosity in the first place. And so he helps us see this bigger purpose that's evident throughout scriptures, all the way again back to Abraham, and the way that blessings are supposed to kind of trickle down and overflow and reach others as well. I know this is a long introduction, but one more thing I want to call out, and we'll make up for it on the back end of the lesson. But just, I want us to really try to think about the nature of our blessings and move away from just the financial side of things, right? When I use the word blessing today, generally I'm using it in its largest context. And so whatever you are blessed with can fall under that umbrella. When you count your blessings, what comes to mind? What is it that you think of? It could very well be family. For many of us, it is. It could be your health. And even if maybe your health isn't optimal, maybe you know the alternatives, and so you're just grateful to have any sort of health at this point. You might not feel 100%, but you know, you're not zero, so that's good, right? It could be other friendships or relationships that you have. But it could even be things like skills that you've been blessed with. My dad has a lot of handyman skills that I don't have. And he has been a blessing to me and to others, using his skills to help people in ways that I'd be helpless on my own. Right? When I think about my greatest blessings, I count as my family, my Chelsea and the boys, my greatest earthly blessings at least. I'm blessed to be a father. So how am I using that to bless others? I think in regards to being a father, my ultimate responsibility is that I bless my boys by teaching them who God is, teaching them to love God, to honor God in their lives, teaching them to love Him with their whole heart. And they don't have much hope for a financial inheritance, but I am determined to give them a spiritual inheritance. And that's, I think, the greatest blessing that I have any chance of giving them. One thing we've all been blessed with, and it might not jump to the top of our list, but is time. And we often think we're pressed for time, but the truth is we've all been given the same 24 hours in every single day. And so whether you're, you know, Elon Musk or Bill Gates or you know, somebody that's living, you know, without a roof over their heads, we all have been blessed with the same amount of time. Every moment we have breath and a pulse is a gift from God. And so we need to be wise with how we use the time God has blessed us with. Am I using my time to be a blessing to others? So with all that said, if you're in 2 Corinthians 9, I have three pretty simple things I want to share about our blessings and the way that we need to see our blessings as a means of being a blessing to others. The first is this principle that generosity produces abundance. Generosity produces abundance. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Paul says, "The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now, human logic says if I am generous with my blessings and I take something I have and I give it away, then I'm left with less of that. In terms that I understand quite well, if I have 4 cookies and I give 2 cookies away, I'm left with less cookies. And that's not a good thing in my book, right? This is not the equation that I want. My generosity is leading to scarcity, not abundance, right? That's the human logic that comes into play with this oftentimes. If I give it away, I'm going to end up with less than what I started with. And from a purely mathematical standpoint, that's true, at least in the immediate short term. It's true in the short term, but there's a lot more than just logic at play here. For one, my moment of generosity, my moment of giving, is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. It doesn't account for the blessings that you're likely to receive later. Because the truth is, when you are generous with others, they are more likely to be generous with you. Right? If I share my cookies with Johnny and Nehemiah now, they're more likely to be generous and share with me when they have their, you know, their candy from holidays or whatever the case is. And this principle that Paul teaches here is, it was ancient even then. You go back over to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11, we see this idea, and even the proverb from Proverbs 3 that again Stephen read first touched on this same issue. This idea that generosity produces abundance. Proverbs 11 verses 24 and 25. It says, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." And so verse 24 shows the contrast between the generous person, the one who gives freely, and the stingy person, right? The one who withholds what he should give is being contrasted in verse 24. It's the same thing Paul's saying back in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Whoever brings blessing in verse 25 is this generous person. It is the generous person. The New American Standard says it like this: a generous person will be prosperous. And that's a really good way to look at it. A generous person will be prosperous. When you bless others, you will be abundantly blessed. Our problem oftentimes is we want to understand exactly why and how. We want to know how this works. We want to see that reward, right? We want to know what we're going to get in return. And so when the logic doesn't add up and the math doesn't add up, we are much less likely to share our cookies, because I'm going to end up with less cookies if I just give them away. That's what we're afraid of. When we need to have faith, trust in God, and trust in his process. The last part of verse 25 kind of tells us how this works. And again, the New American Standard says it this way: when you help others, other people will help you. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? When you help others, other people will help you. That doesn't take a lot of, a lot of mental hurdles to jump over to understand that. Now, again, a problem is it's not a one-to-one transaction. Generosity is really hard for people who are overly concerned with fairness. If you're concerned with getting your fair share and you're always looking over your shoulder because you're afraid of getting ripped off, you're probably not going to have the type of generosity that produces abundance in the first place. Okay, that widow that gave the two coins in Luke 21, if she expected to go home and find two coins sitting on her table, she was going to be disappointed. It's not a one-to-one transaction. Right? Blessings come in various ways and forms, and so we can't be looking for, you don't want to keep the balance sheet level, right? If we do that, we're always playing a losing game with God, because the balance sheet will never be even. And so that kind of brings up one other quick point about verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, and this is not an appeal to self-interest. That's what we got to be careful of. Read verse 6 again, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, you get a greedy person in there, and they're likely to twist that around and get this backwards. If your purpose for being generous, if your purpose for generosity is to gain an abundance, well, then A, you're not actually being generous, and B, you're probably not going to find the abundance that you're seeking in the first place. The promise of abundance is just extra motivation and God being upfront and forthright with how this works. But the purpose for being generous is because you recognize the blessings you have. You understand they come from God. And you understand the purpose for which God has blessed you in the first place. Generosity is the fruit of a grateful heart. It has to come from gratitude, not from a greedy heart. It's gratitude that produces generosity. And we see that in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And so understand again, it's not an issue of whether or not you've been blessed. All of us have been blessed in some way. Doesn't mean we have the same blessings, of course not. But we've all been blessed. Ingratitude comes when you fail to see the blessings God has already given. Because we know God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust, we know God has blessed all of us. Whether you acknowledge the blessings come from Him or not, you have something you can attribute to God. Again, if you have breath and a pulse, you have something to attribute to God that you are blessed with. So generosity driven by selfishness, again, is not generosity. It's more like extortion. When we're generous because we want to get something out of it, right? That's akin to blackmail or extortion, not generosity. And so if you want a takeaway, if you want something to really focus on today, my main point, I'm not saying go be more generous. I'm saying go be more grateful, if anything. Because it's only by being truly grateful that you will become generous. Gratitude will produce generosity. Look at the last part of verse 7. The last part of verse 7 tells us God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. If you have any interest of God in your life, that alone should be reason for you to be grateful and generous. If God loves something, then I want to pursue that thing. Right? I want to become that thing. We should want to be generous, not because we're commanded. If generosity has to be commanded, it's not generosity. But we should be generous because we're grateful, again, for God's blessing. We're grateful that God loves us. And that's the heart that God loves, is a grateful heart. Again, if you struggle with ingratitude, the source of that, the root of that problem, is your relationship with God. And you got to focus on nurturing the root of the problem, your relationship with God. In Romans 1 and verse 21, we read about people who did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. And Romans 1 kind of details this downward spiral, right? When you fail to give thanks to God, you're dishonoring Him and you become futile in your thinking. And the longer that goes, the more futile in your thinking and the more corrupt you become, and your heart tends to darken, and it just further lengthens the distance between you and God, the relationship that you want to have with Him. So gratitude produces generosity. If you don't have gratitude, then you're not going to be very generous. Last thing we need to remember is that God produces all blessings. God produces all blessings. Let's read verses 8 and go on down through verse 11. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 11. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." Isn't that beautiful? God has given us everything we need. The same God that gives seed to the sower is the same God that gives you whatever you need to be generous with others. Now, I don't recommend the Message Bible or the New Living Translation Bible as your regular Bibles for everyday reading, but I share them from time to time. They can provide some insightful commentary, and I think we have a couple examples of that in this passage. Listen to the way the Message paraphrases verse 8. It says, "God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways." Isn't that true? Praise God for that. He can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways, in ways that don't make sense. In ways that, again, you try to do the math on it and you realize how far ahead He is in blessing you than in any way you've blessed Him or returned thanks by blessing others. He pours on the blessings in amazing, astonishing ways. The New Living Translation puts it this way: "God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. You're going to have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, and he will multiply your blessing as well, as long as you are using that to be a blessing to others. Understanding God's power to provide blessing should be empowering. Understanding God's power should be empowering to us. It should encourage us to have the right mindset. So there's two different mindsets that we can take in regards to our blessings. All right, the first is a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset is a demonstration of a lack of faith in this case. People with a scarcity mindset focus on their limitations. They think about ways that they are inadequate. Right? They're always afraid of not having enough. And because they believe their resources or their blessings are limited, they fail to be generous with their blessings. Right? That's not the attitude that Paul instructs you to have in 2 Corinthians 9. The contrast to the scarcity mindset is the abundance mindset. And people with an abundance mindset, in a spiritual sense, are people who understand that God is more than capable and willing to provide everything we need. Verses 8 through 11 is kind of a definition of having an abundance mindset in regards to God's blessings. Look back, we'll just read verse 8 and 11. This is what it means to have an abundance mindset. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God provided it all, right? He's provided everything you need so that you are capable of every good work. Look at verse 11. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. That's the attitude of a grateful heart. It's the understanding that all blessings come from God. If you have a scarcity mindset, you expect it to come from yourself. And you're right, you're very limited on your own. So am I. But it's God that gives us these blessings. Every blessing. And so whatever blessings you are connecting to personally, whatever things you're thinking of in your life, whether it's things or people or skills or whatever, just understand that it's not yours anyway, right? It's not your stuff. It's not your time. It's not your money. Your kids aren't even your kids in this regard. The only reason you have your kids is because God gave them to you, right? And so God is just loaning these things to you. It all comes from God. It all belongs to him. He's loaning them to you as a blessing. But all of those blessings are temporary. Again, everything you have, all your money will be gone one day. All your stuff will be gone one day. All your skills will be gone one day. You won't be able to do the things that you used to be able to do. Even your kids won't be your kids forever. And so when you view your blessings as your own in the first place, when you view your blessings through the lens of a scarcity mindset, then you're never going to think you have enough. If you're stingy with your time, you're never going to have enough time. If you're stingy with your money, you're never going to get enough money. If you're stingy with your compassion, if you don't have enough compassion for others, guess what? You're never going to receive enough compassion from others either. Why? Because generosity is what produces abundance. You want God to give you more blessings? Then you need to cultivate a heart of gratitude that leads you to being more generous with the blessings you already have. This is why Jesus says in the parable of the talents, he ends it in a kind of an odd way over in Matthew 25, verse 29. And by the way, if you're thinking, this lesson sounds an awful lot like the parable of the talents, bravo, it's exactly that, okay? It is. And we could add another 15, 20 minutes and go through Matthew 25 and show all the connections, but I'll spare you of that. You can read through it later. But Jesus ends the parable saying, Matthew 25, 29, "For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Think about that from a spiritual mindset. Those of you who've already been blessed, right? If we acknowledge it comes from God, if we look to share our blessings with others, and we live a faithful life that winds up getting to spend an eternity with God in heaven, we're going to be given so much more than what we could ever begin to hope for in this life. If we're stingy, if we don't walk with the Lord, if we're not obedient to Him, and we're not generous with others, whatever we have is going to be taken, and we're going to be left far worse spending an eternity away from God in hell than we could ever imagine. The one with the abundance mindset will be blessed more abundantly. The one with the scarcity mindset who just buries his blessings in the ground and fails to use it to bless others, he's doomed. He's doomed. James 1, verse 17 reminds us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." God produces all blessings. Everything. Because God is good and he loves you, he blesses you. But he blesses you so that you can be generous in every way. You have been blessed to be a blessing. Look what this all leads to. Go back to verse 11. We'll read verse 11 and 12 to close in 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, 11 through 12. "You will be enriched in every way." Why? "To be generous in every way." But that's not even the end. "To be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." Verse 12. "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." Yes, blessings provide some form of immediate good, right? An immediate need, an immediate benefit. But all blessings ultimately are intended to lead others to be thankful to God. And when you are a blessing to others, you're giving them a reason to thank God and to praise Him. At the end of the day, none of us will ever deserve the goodness of God, will we? We're never going to do enough to earn our blessings or even come close to it. We're never going to earn the goodness of God and the love of God. Even while we were still sinners, Christ loved us enough to die for us. Our sins can be washed away. He's blessed us with the opportunity to be a child of His and to walk with Him. All He asks is that we put away our old self of sin, have our sins washed away in baptism, to rise from that water, to live in the new self, to live and to walk with Him each day. As we end, I just ask you to reflect on your relationship with God. Is your relationship with God what it should be? Are you demonstrating the gratitude towards God that you should be demonstrating? Have you submitted your life to Him? If you need to make a change in any way, today's the day. You can come talk with a shepherd this morning, or you can let us know right now as we stand and as we sing.